Max Beckmann, Blind Man's Buff, Oil on Canvas, 1945, Gallery, 371. Part 1, Description. We're in a gallery filled with colorful paintings and sculptures. The artists featured here are called expressionists. They sought to express meaning or emotional experience rather than physical reality. Our focus here is a painting made in three parts called a triptych. It has three panels, and each panel contributes to a unified composition. The triptych form derives from early European Christian art. It was a popular format for altar paintings from medieval to Renaissance times in the years spanning 1100 to 1500. Of all the colorful, active pictures in this gallery, Blind Man's Buff is by far the most frenetic. This triptych is filled with people and symbolic objects. The whole work measures roughly 6 feet high by 14 feet wide. The middle and largest panel is slightly less than 8 feet across, or about the width of a person standing with outstretched arms. Each side panel is about 40 inches across, the distance from one's nose to the fingertips of an outstretched arm. The three panels are framed, and about 5 inches separate the center panel from each side panel. In each panel's lower right corner, the artist, Max Beckmann, used black paint to sign and date it. We know the triptych was painted in Amsterdam in 1945. The signature reads Beckmann, A45. Part 2, Composition of the Center Panel. Let's start with the center panel. Here, several figures are crowded together in a party-like scene, playing instruments in angular, unusual positions. Slightly right of center is a triangular acid yellow harp. This yellow would taste lemony or sharp on the tongue. Near the top sprawls a full-figured woman with scarlet hair and crimson lips. She's playing a long pipe or wind instrument. We see one of her breasts. The other is obscured by the harp. Using a clock face to indicate location, the woman's head is at 12 o'clock while her legs end at about 3 o'clock. Her garment flows off her lap. To the left of center is a shirtless man. He raises mallets in his hands above his head. The mallets make it look like he has animal horns, and his face looks like a mask. There's a drum between his legs, and white fabric wraps around his lower torso. At 3 o'clock, a woman sits playing the harp. Her posture is straight. Her deep violet gown is hiked up, exposing her bent left leg. At 11 o'clock, we see a minotaur, a creature that's half man, half bull. The minotaur looms over a woman in a red and gold ball gown. He reaches his human hand across her torso to grab one of her hands. In his other hand, he holds what appears to be a long white cloth. Her breasts bulge out of her low-cut dress. The woman has blunt black bangs. She's squeezed between the minotaur and the man with the drum. She has a quizzical, perhaps fearful expression on her shadowed face. Another figure reclines from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, playing a wind instrument the color of a carrot. He wears a laurel wreath on his head and green leaves cover his backside. He stretches almost the entire length of the center canvas. His toe points to the round clock, standing slightly askew on the crowded floor. The clock displays Roman numerals, but is missing symbols for 12 and 1 o'clock. To the right of the clock, behind the harpist, is a cauldron of red flames. The overall feeling we get from this center scene is claustrophobic. We observe but cannot enter the party. The figure's skin tones mimic the cool, pale gray of marble sculptures. Other colors are jarring: hot red, carrot orange, deep violet, acid yellow, and lavender. The flat forms outlined in heavy black paint resemble panes of stained glass. The central panel contrasts the animal, primitive, and lustful side of human nature with the refined, cultural, and controlled side. Part 3. Composition of the side panels. Let's briefly consider the side panels. On each side, Beckman explores the contrast of innocence and decadence through a young couple, a woman on the left panel and a man on the right panel. Both seem naive compared to the worldly crowd that surrounds them. Blind Man's Buff is a party game in which a blindfolded player attempts to touch other players who move around to avoid being touched. We can imagine these two young people as players. On the left panel, the young woman kneels. She has pale skin and golden hair. She drinks a glass of champagne and smokes a cigarette. Her inward expression makes her seem out of place and self-absorbed. A candle burns before her at her knees. Two men whisper in her ears, one on each side. The hand of the man on her left covers everything but one eye, an ear, and the severe part in his hair. Another woman wearing a headscarf sits at 3 o'clock parallel to the hand. Her legs are crossed and she holds a flute of champagne in her left hand. Other self-absorbed bar patrons crowd into the space around them. A large pillar flanks the central canvas and partially obscures the view. On the right panel, a blindfolded young man holds a burning candle. He stands near a uniformed bellhop, comparatively small in scale. The bellhop holds a sign announcing that this is the Great Bar. Using a pointed finger, he also attempts to direct the blindfolded man to the young woman on the left panel. Two women and an evil-looking man tempt the young man through touches and flowers, but he seems unaware. The candle, his gesture, and his placement mirror that of the kneeling young woman. Another column flanks the central panel. When asked if the two people would discover each other in this game of blind man's buff, Beckman replied, "Perhaps, let us hope it." He was not sure that they would, quote, find their destiny, that is, in this case, each other, close quote. The couple hints at his belief that people are innately good, but inevitably affected by the tragedy around them. Part 4, Historical Context for Blind Man's Buff. Max Beckman painted 9 monumental triptychs between 1932 and his death in 1950. Blind Man's Buff is his 7th and largest. He worked on it during World War II from September 1944 to October 1945. At that time, he was in voluntary exile in Amsterdam, having relocated from Hitler's Germany. Before he left Germany, the Nazi government labeled Beckman's artwork degenerate. The Nazis confiscated his work from German museums and displayed it in a degenerate art exhibition. Works by other discredited artists were also included. This exhibition traveled throughout Germany from 1937 to 1941. Beckman could see no future for his career in Germany. Beckman kept detailed diaries most of his life. They suggest that conditions in Amsterdam were difficult in the war's final years, noting air raids and a lack of food, coal, and electricity. As a result, he often painted by candlelight. Sometimes he worked, quote, vigorously, intensively, even furiously, close quote, 8 to 10 hours a day on the triptych. Other times, he'd mull over it indecisively, working instead on smaller paintings. Nonetheless, he was confident that Blind Man's Buff would be his most outstanding work. Beckman's imagery is deliberately ambiguous. He wanted to encourage each spectator to participate in the painting actively and subjectively in order to prompt reflection. Beckman frequently filled his paintings with contrasts, opposites, and contradictions to point out that nothing was entirely good or wholly evil. He did not employ traditional Christian images in the triptychs. Rather, these paintings expressed his own personal religious philosophy. He observed and recorded the world around him to understand what he called the mystery of existence. Beckman acknowledged that his art spoke to the historical moment in which he lived, but he felt it could be applied to all moments in time. For Beckman, art was a way to work through questions he had, such as why people behaved the way they did, especially toward one another.